that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what storms we face in life, He can take care of it all. And thank God for that. Well, many of you know, Brother Throw needs no introduction. He pastored here for almost 19 years, I believe it was 18 and a half or so, from March of 2006 when he got here. Y'all were meeting over in our Sunday school building, the block building, and that used to be the church. And then, of course, where the Christian school is used to be the fellowship hall. This building was in the dry, and everything that you see here is a product of a man who came here and had a vision for God. And we're able to have padded chairs in here. We're able to have air conditioning. We're able to have a fellowship hall and a beautiful ministry here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, all because somebody had a vision and all because somebody was willing to be used by God. And like I said, many of you know Brother Throw. He needs no introduction. Brother Throw, go ahead and come on and preach for us. And we're, y'all stand with me and welcome him.
Thank you. Amen. Y'all can be seated, please. Thank you. God bless you. I tell you what, it's different, and we've been out on the road here and there, and I'm leaving in about 5-6 days and going to help Brother Jeremiah in Kansas and doing a revival for him, and it's different. I've been out to California with Brother Hendricks and his friends out there, and I believe that was Bible Baptist Church we was at. Brother Ryan's doing a good job there. I keep in touch with him. But church, thank y'all for everything. I really mean that. I do know most of you, and I appreciate the visitors being here. And I need to turn that on, just like old days, huh? And man, I tell you, it's nothing but God. When we got here, we didn't have a choir, we didn't have a visitation program, and you see my two singers on there, Miss Peggy and Miss Workman. My first Saturday, we went out door knocking. That was those two. And at that time, I think they were 75 years old. And we was in that little building, and this was half finished, and it was a long story about that. And God just blessed. And it's not, me. Because if we take the glory away from God, that's bad.
Right.
It's because of God. And then God blessed us with a new pastor. He better do a good job, right? That's my son-in-law. And my stepson back there, Brother Anthony. Well, not my adopted son. I adopted him and his wife about 13 years ago, and they've been with me ever since. But, no, thank you. I want to say also thank you for Miss Throw had that catheter. Her heart deal done last Monday, I believe. And I want to thank the families that brought the food over for that, for the evenings. And, man, it was good. Everything was good every evening. And, I mean, I think brand of them, I know I shouldn't be picking on the food, but I love that corn, brother. And all the, what y'all brought, the brisket, the chicken, you name it, the rolls. Man, let's just have an invitation. Y'all ready for that? Amen. And but anyway, God bless you families. And y'all right here standing behind your new pastor. And man, tears came to my eyes. Seeing how hard it was. And but we made it. And look, he's doing a good job. And of course, the new office has been remodeled. And he's got Heather nursery ready. They're expecting one day, and no. But anyway, Brother Terry, y'all doing a good job. But it's not about me and him. It's about God.
Right.
And here's the soldiers right here.
Right.
Here's the soldiers. Just stay in unity to be a church. You got to love on each other. You always remember that. Always remember that. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I need to get right into the message. Go ahead, soldiers of the cross. Please stand with me. Boy, it's going to be great. Y'all ready for the amens? I got amens out here. Everybody say, anybody save? Everybody save? Amen. Praise God, I'm ready. You ready? I put some of that gunpowder on.
Go ahead.
I got my kneology right. You got my denture cream in. I'm ready to go. Let's go ahead to Revelation chapter 3. Yeah, there we go. We're already starting there. I got a support over there already. He's the one that was amening you the other day. Revelation chapter 3. Brother Anthony, let's look at this as a message, a title, God's Open Door Policies. Amen. I used that a long time ago in another different sermon. And it's amazing because his Sunday school lesson, you mentioned open doors. And I said, how do you know my message, everybody? But God knows. He knows. Dr. Romero, thank you for coming, man. You've been with me a while, and you've been through a whole lot, and we love you. Amen. We love your family. Yes. Amen. You always have our support.
That's right.
Anybody pick on you, you just let us preachers know. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, I got to move on real fast. I'm going for the sake of time here. Let's look at verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a open door." There's a text there we're probably going to work on here in a little bit. "And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept a word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwelleth upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly." Amen. "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh where I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, as I kneel before you, dear Lord, what a Sunday. Even yesterday, they worked hard, Father. They love you. Bless this church. Continue blessing this church, Father. It's not about us. We got to uplift you, Father. We got to uplift you more, not just in church services, but every day of our lives, Father, because without you, we're nothing. This world is going to the devil's hell, Father, and you're going to need more churches like this. It's a lighthouse. This is a lighthouse. And may we shine throughout this week, Father. And at this time, Father, I pray that the Spirit, your Spirit, Father, would just grow and manifest itself in us and through us while we bring your word, your message, Father. Please open our mouth wide and fill it with that honey, Father. Please, dear God. And hide me behind that old cross, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, please. The church of Ephesus, as you all of us know, was a fallen church. They had left their first love, the church at Smyrna. And I get this from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Was a persecuted church, the fearful church. Then Pergamos. We see this in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Was the worldly church, the fallen church. This is chapter 2. And then Thyatira was a false church. And we see a lot of false denominations around this planet now, do we not, church? The church of Sardis was a fruitless church. And ended up being a dead church. And the church of Philadelphia, I love this church, was a mission-minded church, a loyal church, a little church, Brother Terry, with a big God.
Right.
And we must be reminded that any church's strength lies not in its size, right, but in the size of its God. What matters is not how big or small the church is. What truly matters is how big their God is, as I just mentioned. It is far better to be a little church with a mighty, big, awesome God, amen, than to be a big church with a little bitty God. Now, Jesus had nothing about which to rebuke this congregation, and that's so true. You see this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, where we're going here. Y'all go ahead and be looking at that verse with me. As he walked around those lampstands there in Revelation chapter 1, he had only praise for these believers. Now, notice verse 8. This is one of our, this is the text I wanted to look at. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, here it comes, church, an open door. An open door. How many of y'all saved this morning? Amen. Don't y'all wish the rapture happened before the invitation? Amen. If y'all saved, you all, man, we ought to be shouting. Amen. And if you're not saved, I'd be running up to making a beeline down that aisle there and hit that altar. We got some soul winners in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength. And has kept my word and has not denied my name. Now, like the letter to the church of Smyrna, this church was not rebuked and it's not summons to repentance. But this church was commended by God himself. This church had a world vision for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, similar to the church of Philadelphia. But therefore, Jesus stands before the church of the church of Philadelphia, not blame, and not judgment. It's but blessings. He's coming to us and say, "You continue being the church, and you continue soul winning, and you continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to bless you. Look around you, church." God has blessed this church. Oh, yeah, this is not a perfect church. We have our ups and downs. Amen? There's not a perfect church. Only perfect preacher and only perfect church is Jesus Christ and his church up in heaven. Amen? Here we see Jesus stands here before the church of Philadelphia. Not the threat of fearful vengeance, but a vision. And so this morning, I want us to look at just briefly the kind of church that God uses. Notice verse 7. The saints are given a vision. We see from what is a righteous of a king. Now, here you find Jesus identifies himself in a way he wants he wants to be seen there in this church of Philadelphia. He's God. He wants to be seen. And y'all know Revelation chapter 2, we are in the Laodicea age. And a lot of churches, Jesus is standing on the outside he's knocking, trying to come in. My question all these years, and I preached that so many times, is why is he out there knocking, trying to get in the church? That tells you what our condition of our churches is, or in, amen? Now, Jesus wants them to know him as a sovereign God, as a holy God. Holy means what? Sanctified. Holy means sanctified. That's a holy Bible. There's a holy Jerusalem. It's set apart to do God's purpose, to God's ministry. So Jesus reveals himself as that he is holy. And he is true. And his word is awesome. His word is a perfect inspired. Everything that he says in this blessed book is true. It's true. It's true. I love the King James Bible. I would die by the King James Bible. I would never apologize for preaching the word of God. Amen. I'm a Christian. I've been saved for, 30-something years. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for his word. And I'm, as I mentioned in that preacher's meeting a month or two ago, I thank God
I'm a Baptist, but being a Baptist ain't going to get me to heaven. But Jesus Christ has got me to, will get me to heaven by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But yes, I'm a Baptist, but somebody said the other day or last year or something, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. And by the way, there's nothing wrong going to heaven first class. Amen, Brother Brandon? That's right. Amen. God's so good. The concept of His holiness that He is set apart from all sin. He's pure, undefiled in all His ways. Now, Christ is described as having the key of David. And we see that here in verse 7. Y'all look at it with me, please. I'm going to try to rush through this. And I don't want to rush, too fast, because we'll miss the point, and I don't want to get the Holy Spirit knocking on my head. Y'all been around me enough to know. And He's right there behind me, too, on His ears. He's going to mow it in the ear now. Amen. Verse 7. He that had the key of David... He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth, meaning He's a keeper of the keys. Is that not true? Look at your verse there. Who alone opens and shut the door, leading. There's a great door to heaven. Jesus Christ is the door. And I tell you, without the door, I'm nothing. Right. And the only way I'm going to get to the door, people, get to heaven, I must come through the door. Is He not the shepherd, the great shepherd? Right. Is He not the awesome shepherd? Amen. And He is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we must recognize He's the door this morning. He opens and no man can shut it. He shuts and no man can open it. And by the way, I'm going to stop right there and say that. If you're not saved and the rapture happens, the door's going to be closed. Yeah. And you'll be experiencing 7 years of hell under this terrible governments, plural, that's around this world. All power, all authority is in God's hands. That's a Christ. That's the Christ of the church that God uses. And there's no doubt what I experienced. I know my health went down a little bit. I understand that. But hey, listen, I'm still a kicking. I'm still a preaching. Until the angels close my eyes, I will always believe in God. I'll always stand up and fight for God. Now let's talk about the condition of the church that God uses. Verse 8, Jesus says, I know your works. And He goes on to say, for thou hast little strength, little power. Now please listen. Human weakness is no hindrance to the power of Almighty God. Because you are weak. Has nothing to do with the power of God. Because I am sinful has nothing to do with the power of God. Because God can hit a straight line, and y'all know this, He can hit a straight line with a crooked stick. Right. Amen? God's goodness is manifested in human weakness. Matter of fact, our weakness by unmistakable contrast provides a setting for the manifestation. Amen? In the manifestations of God's great power. If you could just get a hold of God and hang on to that garment, by the way, when I love using that to illustrate Matthew chapter 9, because I tell you, I can't make it. And when I'm down and out, and when Dr. Jekyll tells me they're at the VA hospital, this and this, I got to have God. Right. I tell you, you young folks, one day you're going to be there. The rapture of the church not to happen. You're going to be there. You're going to be seeing the doctor a little bit more. But I want to tell you, everything's in God's plan. And we must go by that plan. You remember Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And a thorn in the flesh, which was, the scripture says, the messenger of Satan. Paul just pleaded with God. And God allowed that to happen, that thorn. And we're talking about exalted above measure type situation. You said, preacher, I went to the Lord a sufficient number of times and asked God to move him. And God says, y'all know the verse, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. How many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand. Some of y'all perhaps going through a storm or a trial or your kids are just getting kind of out of control. I pray, now listen church, I pray that you get a hold of this message, because the man of Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, he's the door. And listen, if you just get to the door, I'm talking about Monday through Sunday, I want you to think about it. Every time you come through a door, I want you to think you're coming through the door in Jesus Christ, and He's going to help you.
Right, right.
But you got to come through the door. You got to come through the door. Amen. God said, "My grace is sufficient." Oh yeah, God's strength can only be made perfect in human weaknesses, and God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. God could take a rotten sinner like me, and God could take any sinner, let me say it that way, and stand us up on a Sunday morning to teach a Sunday school and sing praises and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and usher here and usher there. It's not my strength. It's God's strength which is manifested in me, and His grace is sufficient this morning. I tell you, grace on top of grace. When you're in time of need, financial bondage, you got to get your neology right. And you pray to God, as Hebrews 1 chapter 4 says, come to the throne room of grace. We all know grace is sufficient, as I've just mentioned about three times. You won't go wrong, church. You won't go wrong. And let me hit on, move on here. Oh, this faithfulness to the power of His word does not earn, I'm talking about the believers, an open door. But rather than faithfulness to the word produces a open door. When the last time you read your Bible? When the last time you came to church with somebody, hey, we need to go to church. We ought to have that burning desire to be in the house of God. Amen. We're saved, are we not? Yes, but rather the faithfulness to the word produces an open door. They do not earn it because of their faithfulness, but their faithfulness produces an open door. Whenever you read about an open door, as we see here in the scriptures, it's always an opportunity to be a witness for the cause of Christ. The door represents either access or denial, depending upon whether it's open or closed. And it was in their weakness that they learned this secret, that the door of Jesus Christ, faithfulness to God, as I wrote down there, opens great opportunities. Great job performing. Open doors for, hey, door, when God closed one door, He opens up two, does He not? And Genesis 18 talks about the Lord met with Abraham, and we're at, in the door of his tent. That meant fellowship. In Exodus chapter 12, the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorpost. That meant redemption. The Levites, in the book of Levites, they sacrificed these animals at the door of the tabernacle. We're talking about the book of Leviticus. And Psalms 84, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I had to use that so many times when I was going to college. I was a janitor. And most of the preachers, if you ask them about their background of going to college or before college, we end up doing anything because we want to get through college.
Right.
Amen. But here in Psalms 84, David said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And that's truth, and that's fact.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. And notice this, knock. When you knock, He will open a door. He will open the door. And that means blessings. That means blessings. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. Did He not?
Amen.
Whoever comes in, I just mentioned that a couple minutes ago. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is standing outside. I just mentioned that 5 minutes ago. He's standing outside the church knocking. Okay? He's standing at the door knocking. which can be interpreted conviction. Whenever there is an open door, there is, this is the second time I said this, there is an opportunity to witness for the cause of Christ. Pray that tomorrow on your job, church, listen up, and we're going to move on here. Pray tomorrow on your job sites that God will open a door. Pray that this afternoon at lunch, there'll be an open door. Pray that you sit down as you sit down with your friends and you be that testimony. Be that a Christian influence. There'll be an open door there. Pray next week as you drive to work and so on and so on. There will be an open door. And I want God always to open the door. Not for me to receive a blessing, but for me, I've always said this, Brother Terry, I want to be a blessing to people. I'm your servant. How many times y'all heard me say that? I am your servant. Jesus humbled himself, left the throne room of God, and came down and invested himself in human form. He said, I'm your servant. If Jesus could humble himself, leaving heaven to come part of, you know, man who knew no sin, but yet he became sin for us, did he not? Amen. He took your sin, my sin, and them to the cross. But I'm saying, God, we got to start humbling. Never think yourself better than the person beside you because you're in church. Somebody help me now. It's just my introduction, Brother Nick. Amen. Never, ever think yourself better. When you go uptown after a Sunday meal or such, and you go and have to get gas for this and that, don't go in there like your nose up in the air.
Right.
God's not pleased like that. You go in there as, I go in there as George.
Right.
Amen. As I introduced myself to Brother Rick back there, I said, my name is George.
Right.
I'm no better than him.
Right.
Somebody with me?
Oh, yeah.
Ricky, I remember you when you were like this. Amen. God's good, ain't he? Praise the Lord, and shame on that devil.
Good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, something that every time I ask God for an opportunity to be an effective witness for the cause of Christ, sometimes he'll send a burden, a stress situation. Amen. Something that if he didn't show up, it would break my spirit, Brother Terry. It'll break me. And if he didn't show up, it would keep me from doing all that he wants me to do. So what I'm saying, what are you saying all this, Brother Thoreau? I'm saying this because we got to be careful what we ask for when we ask for an open door.
Right.
Amen. Because he might send breast cancer. Amen. He might send a sick family member, or he could cause a loss of a job, or your health may go to the left, and it could be a breakdown in the family, in the marriage center. But every time he does it, it's an opportunity. Here it comes. As Paul taught us, here it comes. Every time I'm under the thorn, I'm under an operation from Dr. Jekyll. When I don't understand why they cuss at you out the door when you invite them to church, I'm going to tell you something. Every time, to me, it's an opportunity for this preacher to show God's strength through me
right.
And through you.
Yep.
Amen. Don't go around like a big old pup with his tail between the legs. You hold that head up high.
Amen.
Amen. Pray next week as you drive to work, as I mentioned. We got to pray. We need to pray. We're going to be praying again here in a minute. We got to pray that God will continue to open some doors. But here it comes. I'm going to get to it here in a minute. Pray that God continue them. But sometimes God will close that door. And we get to that in a minute. Amen. We got to show God's power. Why is that? Because I'm weak.
Right.
And he is strong. Yes. Are you struggling this morning, my brothers, sisters in Christ? And I wish I had somebody here this morning that know what I'm talking about. I know there's got to be somebody there that if the Lord doesn't show up, now listen, if the Lord doesn't show up, listen, it's not a defeat. It just maybe He's testing your faith. And maybe we need to examine our faith and see where we're at with our relationship with God. Why do preachers preach? Why do we give God the warnings and His messages to get you closer to God, to keep God's hand and chastisement off of you? That's why the preachers, they study and they give their heart to you, for you will go out that door as a changed person. This is a refueling station on Sunday mornings, ain't it, Brother Terry? We come and get our batteries charged. I'm going to tell y'all, some of y'all ain't smiled since y'all won that lottery. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at some. Hey, there's a lot of heads going down. Ain't going to die in the praying. Remember those days? Lord knows. God's good, Lord. We're not perfect. Amen. Yes. Wish I had somebody here this morning knows what I'm talking about. I'm quite sure I do. If God don't come to my rescue, y'all, there's times I know I'm going to lose my mind. Y'all might as well just get Carl Albert, get me a bed over there soon. And if God don't show it tomorrow, He'll make a way where I can still say that's my God. And I'm going to give Him the glory. That's my God. And I'm going to tell you, don't push God's name around in the wrong way. One day you're going to need God. And God's last name is not damn. Amen. God is a holy God. And don't put a curse on your life or during that hour or during that week by using God's name in vain. I'm going to tell you something. God is an awesome God. And there's times where I'm out there saying, God, where you at? Where you at? And you know what He's doing? He said, in due time, I'm going to talk to you.
Right.
And by the way, He could be waiting he's got His ear bent over that throne room of grace. He's got that ear bent over waiting for you to confess your sins. We can't hide, you can hide sins from your preacher, your spouses, and mom and dad, but you can't hide sins from God. Amen. We need our prayers answered. So let's try to live the best we can for the cause of Christ. Yes. If He doesn't show up tomorrow, I know He's going to make a way. Now listen, the open door is open. Always because He has already, here it comes, church, walked through it. Because I have a track record with Him. And I'm going to testify that whenever the open door, shows up, there's some fire behind it. There's some burning behind it. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If y'all could just grasp the Spirit, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. If you just get a hold of God, and you did when you asked God to save you, but I'm afraid we grieved, and we have shone away, and we put water on the fire. But every time that door opened, a majority of the time, there's some fire behind it. You preacher boys out there know what I'm talking about. You got to have fire. You got to be alone with God, first of all, before you mount up in that pulpit. My prayer life plays a big role in if I'm going to make it or not. I got to get my neology right. And when I get in my office, well, it's your office now, but when I was back in that office, I just stay there until just the Spirit comes over me, man. Then I come in, and I'm going to tell you, they just... And I can sense there's something wrong out in the congregation by when I walk in the room. I'm going to tell you something. You too, when you read your Bible, and when you come to church and get plugged into a church, and get to know some good Christians, get to know the Word of God, get to know Him first of all, you too will sense there's something wrong.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, and shame on that devil.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a track record with Him. And now that door opens, there's a burning behind there. And He'll show up. He has so many times. He showed up and He made a way. He made a big way for me. It's getting hot up here. Let's go ahead to Luke chapter 16. We've got to change that message to hell. Some of y'all are starting to look pale. No, God is good. Yes, He'll make a way. He'll show up and make a way. Yes, He will do that. He'll make your enemy, as we see in Hebrews, He'll make your enemy a footstool. He'll give you strength that you never knew you had. And He'll supply a roof over your head. He'll supply the food on your table. He'll supply the gas in your fuel tanks. And everything you need, God will do that because He has already walked through the door. I'm talking about doors that was closed and doors that was open. And sometimes closed doors are blessings too.
Right.
Y'all with me? Some of y'all done experienced that. Closed doors. I know it. Sometimes closed doors are blessings too. Because God knew that there were some things you and I didn't need. Y'all with me? Amen. Because if God allowed that to happen and you got Him, you wouldn't be in church here today.
Yeah.
A lot of times, deer hunting takes us.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, ladies, that's including you and your soap boppers. As the stomach turns, that makes you sick, don't it? Amen. So He closed the door. So you can have a praise. For you can say amen. I want to tell you something. Remember the day I got to get y'all before we release. I got to get y'all with God. I want y'all so close to God. God feed us that manna from heaven. I need to be fed that sweet honey. I want y'all to get so close to God that when you leave here, you go find your enemies. Say, I'm sorry I talked about you. Somebody help me. Make some things right, you kids, with your parents and spouses. Make some things right. And that's the purpose of the message that God laid on my heart, to get you closer for you can love on God more and see through the eyes of God. And when you see through the eyes of God more, you become the kind of Christian God wants you to be.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yes, thank God for open doors, but hallelujah for closed doors. There were some people that shouldn't have been in my life. And God closed the door. But I kept pulling on it. Y'all with me? Young preacher boys, I was there. God closed the door, but my problem, Brother Terry, I kept wanting to pull on the door. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. How many of y'all been pulling on that closed door? You want to do your own thing? Can't do that. You got to let Him lead and guide us. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in at. Is that not true? Amen. And every time you pull on the door that God wants to keep closed, listen, you're going to invite calamity in your lives. There's going to be some storms in your life. And that crowd that you still want to go through with Facebook, you still want to go over there, and they're not even going to church, you still pray for them. But listen, you got to be careful there, because they will pull you out of church. They will put stuff in your mind. Calamity will happen. If you keep trying to open that door by the crowd you hang around with, tells a lot about you. But you're never better than that person. Y'all understand that? You pray for them. You pray for them. Yes, even for the sins of the flesh in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 6. When we see the sins of the flesh and homosexuality, listen, you got to love on all people. But you can't. I cannot accept their sin. But you love on them. You're not a lawyer. Let God do the judging. Somebody help me today. And God, there's no divisions. There's no divisions in heaven. And we get so dogmatic because we're Baptists. Hey, put Baptists out of the way. I want to get to heaven. Amen. You got to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's some people in my life that, I mean, shouldn't be in my life, and they have brought me down, especially in my college days. They have brought me down. And even in my preaching years, there's some preachers I shouldn't be even around. Somebody help me.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah, preachers need to be preached at too.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes. If I hadn't known then what I know now, y'all know the rest of that story, right? I went left that door what, church? Closed. What I know now, what I'm going to tell you, I would have left that door. You guys go ahead and say it. Your wife ain't listening anyway. You caught it. Boy, if lips could kill, I'd be dead. That's the kind of church God uses, though. That's the conditions of the church God uses. I want you to see the challenge and we go eat. Notice verse 9. Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jew and are not, but do lie. Behold, boy, that's a government deal right there. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the temptation, the hour of temptation, which should come upon all the world to try them. All of us, those that dwell upon this planet. In verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Church, please stay with me. The question is not whether Christ has promised and delivered us from trials or self-guarding us through trials. We must hold fast. As Paul said, I should not be moved, right? We must hold fast to what we have, because if he delivers us from it, and keep us from it. I'm going to tell you something. There's a door right there open. The door is still open, what I'm trying to say. It's a challenge when the synagogue of Satan, when the unbeliever tries to stop your progress. And y'all, some of y'all know where I'm going with this. And when you're trying to do right, all of a sudden you got people back there. You started going to church. And your friends don't like it. Your bloodline don't like it. You get ridiculed. You get talked about. Why are you starting that church stuff? And you start getting, you're being lied on. Your good is being spoken of, as Peter says, as evil. And God says, let them keep lying. Yeah. And God says, let them keep digging a hole.
Right.
Let them keep setting traps for you. And I will let them know that I love you. And I love you. And I love you. Is that not true, church?
Right.
Because you kept my word. In the good times, in the bad times, in the up times, in the down times. And when the sun was shining, when it was raining in your life, you still loved God. Hey, listen, church is hard. I know you work Monday through Friday, but I want to tell you something. It's going to get easy when you get up in heaven. Easier, let's say it. Amen. But we must be faithful to the house of God. This church has always been blessed. We had some of the top preachers through here. He had recently a few preachers already. I'm going to tell you, these are great men of God that won hundreds to the Lord. Charles Hamilton, 2 week revival in 2015. We packed this church out. Remember that?
Right.
And I still talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because we prayed. We prayed. I talked to Brother Terry, and one day he's going to do this. I don't know when. That's between him and God. But we need another 24-hour prayer meeting.
Right.
I'm telling you, work, sign up, get your hour, and come up here. If it's 2 in the morning, that's your hour, pray. And you'll be relieved the next hour. And one day, Brother Terry, he's working on that stuff already, but he's doing so much. And God's blessing him. And Heather, where's she at? Oh, there she is back there. And then Heather, welcome to the ministry. Oh, yeah. Where did y'all sleep? About 5 hours a night? About that, ain't it? Well, y'all young. You can make it. And Terry can make a man out of you. Put hairs in that chest, boy. Amen? Yeah. Now, watch this. This is found in Daniel chapter 3. It's a faith. Daniel chapter 3.
Right.
It's a faith.
Uh-huh.
It's a faith that says, even if he does not deliver, I'm still, that's what he's saying, or not going to bow to this king.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
And if a faith that says, King Nebuchadnezzar, I don't care how hot you turn up the flames in that fiery furnace, Meshach, Abednego, y'all know the story. Who was the fourth man in the fire? Jesus Christ. And the old king got up that morning. And he said, hey, what's that fourth man doing in there? And I can imagine they were just standing there talking and saying, man, I tell you, it's air conditioning here. Somebody needs to turn the heat up more. Y'all know the story. Amen. He is able to deliver thee. But if not, let us serve notice. That's what he's telling this king on you. We're not going to bow, O king. We're not going to do that. He will deliver us out of your hands. But if not, it's our faith that held us together. Amen. And our faith is not in you, king. It's in our God, our Father, Jehovah God. Jehovah Jireh, amen.
Right.
Our faith is not in you. Y'all know the rest of the story. How they hated the heat of the flames, as I mentioned. You find all this, I got to move on down to chapter 3, verse 19. And then the king gets up and he's looking and so on and so on and so on. Now, listen, he will show up in your fiery furnace to let Nebuchadnezzar's know that he does not have the fight. Hey, listen. God taught us to render the things of Caesar, Caesar, but you render the things that belongs to God. Our government is not the answer to your marital problems.
Right.
God is your answer.
Yeah,
and we need to get God back in our government.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody help me this morning. Boy, I can park that thing. I got a, Brother Brandon, I got an 18-wheeler with 15 gears in it right now. Yes. Let me move. I got to move on. I got to move on. Peter was in jail, and we're talking about with the open door, the angel shows up, and you know how that story goes. The angel came to deliver Peter, and the Bible says that the angel got there to deliver him, and the angel woke him up and said, "What you doing sleeping? It's time to rejoice. Let's go." The door was open. He's about to be put to death. But when the deliverance came, as I mentioned, he was sleeping because Peter knows if God doesn't show up to deliver him, death will be the deliverer. Hey, Christian ought not be afraid to die. Our flesh says, oh no. But our Christianity said, yes. Oh yeah.
Right.
And bring it on. I'll be in a better place. Amen, Brother Roberto.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, you still Dark Vader out there. You're sleeping on me. Ladies, if you start breathing heavy, take the songbook. And that thump, we already know what it's going to be. I'm just teasing. Brother Roberto been with me for years.
Oh, yeah.
A long time. And we love you, man. I always got to pick on you once in a while. Amen. Let me go ahead and move on. Let me move on here. Yes. And a lot of times we're afraid to tell our friends we're a Christian. Somebody's gonna be eating your lunch alive. And y'all know your job sites, your family tree and such. And you're scared that somebody's gonna be mad at you because you reach a certain plateau with God and church and you're starting to pray and you're starting to say, oops, I slipped. I didn't mean to do that. The lost world don't like that.
Right.
Amen. But if God's blessing you, don't worry about what somebody else says about you. If God is trusting visions unto you and sending answers to your prayer and even to your door front, amen, have sense enough to open it and say, thank you, God. I'm going to tell you something. I will say thank you if you don't. I'm going to always say thank you.
Right.
I'm going to say thank you, God, for saving my soul. I will say thank you, God, for putting my family, giving me my family that we have. And we've been around the world and back. Newfoundland, Germany, you name it. We've been there and we've done that. And I say thank you. If y'all don't want to say amen, I will. Because I know where God found me.
Right. Right.
I got something to shout about today. This is, I toned it down a little bit, Brother Terry. You know, man, God is so good, man. It's just so much that we want to talk about, but I'm going to have to get through this here. You know, I think one of the surprises for us when we get to heaven, there'll be a large room, big giant room up in heaven, but it's going to have one door.
Yeah.
And you know who the door is, right?
Right.
Yes. I believe from the Word of God that up there in heaven, you know, I'm talking about God's kingdom, and there's going to be a great door. And listen, and we will all want to know what's behind door number one. Now, this ain't make, listen, not make a deal and all this other stuff that's out there, and the price is right and whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. We all want to know what's behind that door. And I suspect God himself would say, now, back up with me. What's behind that door? And I know, and I feel this, and that God will say, that's all the blessings you could have had. That's all the blessings. We're robbing ourselves of blessings. Be a blessing. It's better to give than receive. Your next door neighbor hurting for food, buy them a little groceries.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You know, if somebody living under the bridge, amen, take a hamburger, a McDonald's bag. Years ago when I was younger, there was several people under the bridge over there before they remodeled all that stuff through there. And we took McDonald's to them and stuff. But listen, never think yourself better. That could be you over there under that bridge. That could be you in Ethiopia over there in some country that's starving the children to death. Or it could be in another country where the woke is so strong and the homosexual is so strong. That could be you living in that country. That could be you born as a Muslim. That could be you born in this religion and Buddha and this. Hey, listen, religion is sending most people to hell today. Ain't that right, Gary? I told you, son. I done told them before the service I don't get them. Brother Hendricks. But anyway, but I thank God I wasn't born in a Hindu family. Why are you doing it? But that's a religion. That's nothing to do with God. Y'all know this stuff. Man started religion.
Right.
You got to get to heaven through this denomination. You got to go. You can't get to heaven unless you're a Buddha or you speak in tongues and you do all this, being slain in the spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Stay away from that stuff. Get into that Bible and study that thing.
Right.
Amen. Only one way we're going to get to heaven. It's not through some religion. Religion is sending a lot of folks to hell today because they're thinking they're going, you got to do this. You got to bow down. You got to go to the outhouse and confess your sins to a man. I want to tell you, you confess your sins not to the preachers. You confess your sins to him this morning.
Right.
Your sins are between you and God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me go here. Yes. Yeah. Let me move on. Brother Terry, we can turn this city upside down. You remember those old ways?
Sir.
And you started with, 32 people next door in that little old building.
Right.
10 of those was kids.
Yep.
Laura was one of them. Amen. You remember how small that thing was?
Boy.
And but we could turn this city upside down. Y'all coming out. We have done that in the past on Thursday nights. Brother Terry picked it back up. And y'all doing good. You're doing good. You're getting a good, decent crowd up. But listen, are you capable of leading somebody to the Lord?
Right.
You got to get with these preachers around here and get the future, soul winning, Clinton stuff. You got to learn how to lead somebody to the Lord. You remember those Wednesday nights I had y'all come up and practice on each other? I'm going to tell you, I hope it's stuck.
Right.
You know? But anyway, Brother Terry, he's doing a good job. Got y'all back out on Thursday nights and got a new families. Got a few new faces here. And that's good. Remember, your church will grow through your Sunday school class. Through your Sunday school class. I taught that in that preacher's meeting. Amen. Yes. I got to move on. Let me move on. I got to move on. Yes, lastly, let's go ahead. verse 12 and 13, Revelation chapter 3. You know, I'm going to be closing here in about 10 minutes. Verse 12. I skipped over some good gold nuggets. Too bad we couldn't come back out of there and finish part two at 2 o'clock today. But, I can't believe I said that. We got to have Sunday night services.
Right.
A lot of preachers are stopping at Sunday night stuff.
Right.
Him that overcometh, y'all follow on, please. Revelation 3, verse 12. Make him pillar in the temple of my God, and he should go no more out. And we write upon him the name of, watch this, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Wow. Which comes down out of the heaven. Y'all know this is Revelation teaching here. Out of heaven of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, I want you to get this. He says he will make them. He will mark them, if you look at it, with a threefold identification. And we see this in the book of Exodus, a threefold blood mark in the book of Exodus. Somebody got to help me now. I got to get rolling. I got to get moving. Now, when the death angel flew over Egypt, every house that had that threefold identification, that's the mantle, the blood on the door. Y'all seen the Ten Commandments movie and stuff. They sacrificed a lamb for that without spot and blemish, by the way. And anyway, the angel, when the death angel came and passed over, now the blood was on that doorpost. And when that death angel passed over there, that family survived, did it not?
Oh, yeah.
It's a threefold identification. I'm talking about blood was on the doorpost. And the death angel, when he saw the threefold blood mark, we're talking about redemption.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I've been redeemed. Church, listen, y'all been redeemed. We ought to be excited about it. We're not going to devil's hell. We're not going there. You're saved. You're saved by your believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And nothing could take that away. Nothing could take your salvation away. He says, he will mark them and make them. And that's what he says. I'm moving on. When the blood of Christ is on your house, that is redemption. He'll take care of your children. Won't he take care of your children? Y'all with me? We're about to close. I'm about to hit a home run here in a moment. Amen. He'll take care of everything in your house. Everything, he'll take care of it. Everything that concerns you and your family. If you got the threefold blood mark on your house, exemption will occur. Verse 12, the overcomer. Will be marked with a threefold identification. He said, I'm going to put God's name on you. And when I do, I'm going to seal you. I feel Ephesians kicking in here, brother.
Right.
I feel Ephesians. I'm sealed to the day of redemption.
Right.
But if not, listen, if that's not enough for all of us, and I'm going to put the name of the city on you. That's what he's saying. You got a redemption, exemption. And that's not enough. He's going to look at it. Put the name of the city on you. And that would double seal you. And if that's not enough, I'm going to write my own name. I'm going to write my name on it. Glory to God. Hey, Jesus, can you say there's something special about that name? And when you build down and out, just talk to Jesus. Pull over the side of the road and start talking to Jesus. Now, the name of God is enough. But there's times when I get down and out, but I gotta have more of God. And the name of the New Jerusalem is enough for me. But then Christ said, I'm gonna put all of these together. Look at it, verse 12. And then he's gonna sign his name on it.
Right.
Glory to God. Oh, maybe this'll help you. Oh, I used this illustration 2-3 years ago, and we're closing with this illustration. In the Old Testament, a key was made out of wood.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, it was a large wooden object. It was placed under the latch. The latch on the door to open the door. Now, you cannot open that door without that key made of wood. And only one person owns that key. It was made of wood large enough to open the door. And let me emphasize, only one person could open that door. It was made of wood, very large in size. You couldn't get in no kind of way without that piece of wood. Because there was only one owner. He was the only one. Y'all know where I'm going. That would open that door. One key, one owner, and of course it was made of wood. And he was the only one who could open the door. One Friday, glory to God. We always go to Friday. I ain't Catholic, but we're going to use that for illustration. One Friday on Calvary Hill. Woo! Y'all been there? I think some of us need to go back to Calvary to see what the sin done for us, to us. You get what I just said? I think a lot of us ain't been to Calvary. That's why we have invitations. When you get back right with God, that's between you and Him. Is that not true? Yes. One Friday on the hill called Calvary, there was a piece of wood and one owner. Glory to God. He was the only one that could open the door. He'll open that thing wide. We're talking about the doors of salvation with this key. You got to get to Calvary. And there it is. Calvary. Y'all see the piece of wood on Calvary?
Right.
I see the piece of wood on Calvary. Y'all see the piece. Y'all been there one day. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Yeah, it's not by the way of the cross leads home. We understand that. But our total redemption when He up from the ground He arose.
Right.
It started at Calvary. He ended at the tomb. And He defeated Lucifer.
Yeah,
glory to God. Man, at the cross, somebody help me now. I remember when I first saw the light.
Right.
I remember those days of redemption where my burden of my heart rolled away. And I'll tell you what, I was lost. I was blind. Me and blind Bartimaeus were his cousins.
Right.
But now I could see because there was a man named Jesus. And they, my friends tell me, hush up, hush up. But I sense Jesus in the house. I sense a way of salvation, Brother Terry. But my friends, and when I was in football and all that, we went to this revival, and they said, oh, you don't need to go up there. David said, hush up, hush up. And I said, no, I can't. I feel Jesus in the house. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you something. That's what my prayer is every time I get in somebody's pulpit. I want you to feel the presence of God. As I always said, if I ain't got you closer to God, I failed you this morning. Somebody help me. Amen. Yes, one owner. We're talking about Calvary. At the cross when I saw them. Hey, it was there by faith where I received my sight. Blind Bartimaeus comes to mind.
Yeah.
Now right now, at Cornerstone Baptist Church, I'm happy. I'm happy because there's one key.
Yeah.
One owner made of wood.
Yeah.
He died, did he not? Church, stay with me. We're going to go feed our little old bellies. Oh, God, He died on a piece of wood, did he not?
Yeah. Yeah.
He died on a piece of wood, the doors of salvation. It opened up. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let him come, amen. That's what God's trying to say. He is saying that this morning. How He opened doors for me. He picked me up. He turned me around. He planted my feet. Hey, true repentance is never going back near the same thing. True repentance is having conviction. If you don't have that true repentance, there never was any conviction in your life by the Holy Spirit. And if there's no conviction, never was salvation. That's why you still want to keep sinning. A lot of times you just ain't got it yet. And when you get a hold of God and the Spirit gets a hold of you, you're going to know it.
Right.
Nothing to keep you from going uptown and shopping and with a smile on your face.
Right.
They say, what are you smiling about? You remember those sermons? What are y'all smiling about? I'm going to heaven.
Right.
Yeah, Brother Anthony, smile. Ooh, no, close it. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I pick on him a lot, too. But the Lord opened doors for all of us. He brought me a mighty long way, from a mighty long way. He made a way where it seems to be no way in my life. He is a rock in the weary land, shelter in time of storm. He's my provider. He's my guidance. His word is a compass to my life. And you won't go wrong reading that holy word of God. Brother Terry's going to challenge y'all to read that Bible within a year. And it won't hurt you. I'm going to tell you something. If my life ain't lined up with that Bible, I'm wrong.
Right.
I'm wrong. I'm a hypocrite. I shouldn't even be preaching.
Good.
Amen. Yes, early Sunday morning he got up. And if you can't remember the day he got up in your life, somebody's got to help me. If you can't remember the day he found you, somebody found you on a Monday. I know somebody found you. And there's got to be somebody in this room knows where I'm going. There's got to be somebody know if it's not on Wednesday. Oh, here's that song coming, brother. It could be on a Thursday. Oh, man, I know this is, I feel something coming on, Brother Nick. The day you were saved, it could have been a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Somebody touched me. Oh, somebody touched me. Can we do it, Brother Terry? Let's go ahead and do it. I know, we'll do that here in a minute after invitation. We got to do it real fast. I know where I'm going with that because I won't tell you. I want you to leave it with a smile. Not because we fill our bellies up, because you met with God this morning. Amen. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. Yes. There's something to shout about today. Oh, yeah. Somebody's testimony is early one Sunday morning, he came and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Not only he's the door, but he says, I lead my life. I lay my life down that you have the privilege to come through that door. And when you come through that door, here's John chapter 10 kicking in, I believe. He'll give you abundant life. That's security on top of security. Amen. Amen. What do y'all think? Let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand. Do you want to get acquainted with the Savior this morning? This ought to make you shout. You must come through the door. He's going to give you everlasting life when you come to the door. Jesus is the door. He has the key on Calvary. He had it. On a wood, old wooden, rugged cross. Amen. So this morning, why don't you come up? Why don't you come up through the door of Calvary?
Boy.
Think about it. How many of y'all remember the day you got saved?
Boy.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. But hey, that's between you and God. But this invitation is for all of us, saved or lost.
Amen.
Amen. Since we've been saved, what have we been doing for God?